Cuckoo's a pretty bird. She sings as she flies. She brings us good tidings, tells us no lies. She sucks the little bird's eggs to keep her voice clear. And when she sings cuckoo, the summer draws near. As I walk down by the side of a bush, I heard two birds whistling, the blackbird and the thrush. I asked them the reason so merry they be, and the answer they gave me is we are single and we are free.
Welcome to the first episode of Feather and Flock, a series about some of Ireland's most iconic birds. The first episode is all about the cuckoo, their habitats, their song, their life strategy, and how they're represented in folklore. And of course, their incredible annual round trip from Africa to Ireland and back again. But first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Anya Murray. I'm an ecologist and a writer. I love being out where wild things are, watching, listening, and doing my best to tune in to the intriguing goings-on in the natural world. Ireland's landscapes are relatively tame. We don't really have any properly wild habitats anymore. Mountains, valleys, and coastlines have all been shaped by thousands of years of human management, moulded by our machinery to fit with our framing of how things should be. But wild creatures still exist, an enormous diversity of beings who sing and dance to their own tune, who are free to live their lives in the ways that millions of years of evolution has produced. Their habitats are tempered by human influence, but the essence of their being is still very much wild. And the most visible, vocal, and present of these wild beings are birds. In this series, my friend and fellow bird enthusiast, Brian McGlynn, and I will be taking a deep dive into the ways of six birds who are intrinsically part of Irish landscapes and culture.
And I'm Brian McGlynn. I'm a musician and songwriter, mostly with my band Ye Vagabonds. And I'm also a bit obsessed with the natural world and the things that live around us. I grew up going on early morning bird surveys with my dad all around County Carlow. I learned to recognise their songs, sounds, colours, shapes, movements. Early on, I learned to be aware of birds because they have so much to tell us about the health of our environment. It's hard to imagine a world without birds in it. What would mornings and evenings sound like without them? Can you imagine summer without the return of the swallows to our skies, or spring without the cuckoo? Can you imagine a world without birdsong? For each group of birds that we explore in this series, I have uncovered stories, songs, and folk associations to bring us closer to the character and symbolism of those species in our culture. And for each episode, I have curated and written both new and old music with a host of collaborators to illustrate the lives of these little beings. This series is our way of inviting you to join us on a journey of rediscovery, exploring a tiny selection of favourite wild birds, their ecology, migration and song, as well as the folklore and songs associated with them. This first episode is for the cuckoo, the iconic herald of spring.
Meeting is pleasure, and pardon is a grief. And an inconstant lover is worse than a thief. A thief can but rob me and take all I have. But an inconstant lover sends me to my grave.
The cuckoo's behaviour is infamous. They lay their eggs in another bird's nest and leave the poor unsuspecting birds to raise their young for them. Their song is also unmistakable, the surest sign that spring has arrived, that winter is gone and summer is on its way. Birds come up a lot in Irish folklore and mythology, and there are lots of associations with cuckoos in particular. Neil McCutcher is a writer who has written lots about folklore in Ireland, including one book called Ireland's Birds, Myths, Legends and Folklore. I met with Neil in Phoenix Park one afternoon to ask him about birds, the cuckoo, and the folk beliefs we still associate with them in Ireland. Could you tell me, what do birds mean in Irish folklore? What way do they come up in mythology and old stories?
Well, they come up in lots of different ways. They're kind of, I suppose they're sort of a favourite symbol of messengers between this world and the other world, because they can fly, obviously, so they can fly up into the sky, into the other realms, and they, bird song as well, they can sing, which kind of, there's this whole idea of transporting people away to another realm. So, they have this whole idea of being otherworldly and sort of messengers from the other world, from this world to the other world or whatever.
So I know that there's some reference in mythology to somebody maybe falling asleep listening to the birds, or the effect of the birds on them. Could you tell me a bit about that?
There's various stories about a monk, say, hearing a bird song and going into a wood to listen to it and thinking he's only there for a few minutes, and then he comes out and discovers he's been 100 years or something listening to the birds, because it's this whole idea of the other world, that like what seems like 5 minutes there is actually hundreds of years here. And I think it's this whole idea of when you're engrossed in something and it's sort of, you don't feel the time passing. So it's this kind of idea of a magical time or a magical sense of time.
It makes sense though. I've spent a lot of mornings, even just in the making of this program, just sitting listening to the birds for a couple of hours, you know, and it really is transportative. When you start to tune into what's going on, they have their own other world up there, don't they?
When you first hear the cuckoo, that kind of sets your look for the rest of the year. So if you hear the cuckoo with money in your pocket, you'll have plenty of money for the next year. But if you hear the cuckoo before you've had your breakfast, or if you're hungry, then bad luck for you. You're going to be hungry for the rest of the year.
In damp meadows and wet grassy byways across the country, there is one particular wildflower that erupts with vigour during April and May. Its delicately pink-tinged bright white flowers decorating spring with a particular beauty. These flowers are called Lady's Smock, but another more widely used name for them is Cuckoo Flower. Brian and I went to meet with botanist Zoe Devlin in a meadow to see the bounty of cuckoo flowers with her expert eyes. Zoe's lifelong passion for native wildflowers has prompted her to write several books about the subject, as well as creating the wonderful website wildflowersofireland.net.
It used to be known, and probably still is, over in Britain more, and that is Lady's Smock. And in Irish, it has two names, Bialar Craigan, which translates roughly as ornamental cress, and then the other name is Lena Mura, which is Mary's nightdress.
And is that, I guess, the flower looks quite beautiful and flowy, and it's this pale pinky white. I guess if you turn them upside down, it could be like a particularly gorgeous lady's nightgown.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can see it, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, the buds, just before they unfurl, have this gentle, would you call that mauve, lilac colour.
Yeah.
The flowers are totally white.
Lovely little heads of flowers, and then the yellow anthers in the middle.
And the cress, is it related to cress, like watercress that we'd eat?
It's part of the family. You can eat the leaves of that.
Can you?
You can,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just, it's not just the caterpillars who eat it.
Yeah.
So will I try a little bit?
Do, yeah. I'm still alive. They're pollinated by almost everything, as far as I know.
Really?
Yeah.
So butterflies, bees, flies, moths.
Yep.
Hoverflies.
A lot. Yeah. They love the damp. you know. They love this. This is perfect, this habitat. It's just what the books say, damp meadows.
Floating above the grasses and the other wildflowers.
Yeah, and for company then they have the beautiful meadow buttercups. You see them there, they're standing proud with their beautiful leaves, and the ribwort plantain, and there was common vetch to one side, there was germander speedwell further back, bush vetch I saw on the way to around here, all typical meadow plants.
The cuckoo flower has earned this name because it comes into flower just as the cuckoo arrives back from Africa in April. In nature, timing is everything. And in the finely woven web of interconnected life cycles, many species depend on each other's timing for their reproduction and survival. Orange-tip butterflies are especially keen on cuckoo flowers, but crucially, the cuckoo flower is these caterpillars' primary larval food plant. So we look, I think I spot two orange-tipped butterflies.
You do indeed, well spotted.
Oh. If we creep up slowly, we might see them laying their eggs on the cuckoo flower.
Well, that's a male, so it's kind of unlikely to happen because it's got the orange tips. But the female, she's down there, I think, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's down below, I think.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, she's waiting for him to...
We are about to watch the male and female orange-tipped butterflies mating on the base of a cuckoo flower.
Oh, isn't that just wonderful to see that? Away they go.
The cuckoo song is so musical that it's no wonder it's had such an influence on traditional music. It's a simple phrase, but it's unmistakable. There are a lot of tunes in the Irish tradition dedicated to the cuckoo, like that tune, The Cuckoo Waltz, played by Aoife Granville from Dingle on the flute. A well-known harp tune written by Turlough O'Carolan in the 1600s, best known as Shebag Shemor, was also documented a number of times under the name The Bonny Cuckoo or The Cuckoo. And it's even sung as a song to the same tune in England. It's only when I heard the cuckoo singing along with Leisha Kelly's harp playing that I realised how similar one of the phrases of the tune is to the cuckoo's song. Apart from the instrumental tradition, the cuckoo comes up a lot in ballads across the English-speaking world. It's often associated with dishonesty or deception in love, as it is in the American version of the ballad The Cuckoo, which Zoe Basha has recorded for this episode. I was curious, though, to know more about the cuckoo in Irish songs. So I dropped in to see my friend Mairead Ní Uaimhne at her home in Carrigfinn in northwest Donegal.
Well, the thing about the cuckoo, it's a very cheeky little bird when you think about it, you know. It takes over another bird's nest and throws all that bird's eggs off the side. And, you know, it's one of those interesting little birds that you say, how dare the cuckoo do that? But then you forgive the cuckoo because it sings so beautifully and it's heralding the summer as soon as you hear it. Beautiful light and everything that's good in the world. So we maybe forgive the cuckoo sometimes. But yes, it does appear in a lot of English songs. The cuckoo is a pretty bird, sings as it flies. And then there's another few ones about the cuckoo's nest, which is a very bawdy wee song that Brian Mullen sings. And then, of course, in the Gaelic language, I think of Cua Mullen the Bwee, which is one of the oldest songs that I've heard sung around the parish of Gidor and the Rosses and Clonmel, I suppose, all of the northwest. You know, it's just one of those songs. I remember there was an old man from Marragavan, Corny, and any time he was asked to sing, he always sang Cua Malundabui, and it went on forever, but everyone loved it because it was a great storyline, you know. I suppose it's just one of those interesting metaphors for, well, I suppose being a cheeky bird is one, and maybe taking over somebody else's love is another way of looking at it.
Cuckoos are famous for laying their eggs in the nests of other birds. But something they don't get much merit for is their impressive migrations. To find out where our Irish cuckoos go once all the eggs are laid, to be cared for by some poor unknowing meadow pipit, we spoke to someone who has begun following their journey south each summer. Sam Bailey, a conservation ranger with the National Parks and Wildlife Service, has been working on a project to satellite tag cuckoos so that the details of their migration might be revealed.
So this year we embarked on a project with the British Trust for Ornithology to track some of our Irish cuckoos. And so what we've been doing, we managed to catch some cuckoos in Killarney National Park and the Burren National Park, and we put a satellite tag on their back. So it's like a little backpack with a little aerial sticking off the back with a little sonar panel, and that is linked to a satellite so it can pick up and track where they go.
You've even got a solar panel on the satellite tag.
Yeah. It's quite an impressive piece of equipment, but obviously it has to be as small as possible so that it doesn't infringe on the birds and their natural abilities to do what they do. And these amazing little sonar panels, you know, sort of provide that for it. So
it must have been gorgeous to see the cuckoos close up, because they're a bird that, like, I listen to all summer long but never actually get to see them. They've got gorgeous patterns, don't they?
That's right. They have this amazing sort of plumage which sort of makes them look a bit like a bird of prey. And in the wild, they tend to very much keep themselves hidden with the trees, and you'll often see one, might see one just fly across and then disappear into another tree again. So you often don't get a great look at a cuckoo. But yeah, they have this amazing sort of barring on the belly, grey sort of on the back and on the wings, quite a long tail, and very small feet. They've got quite short feet, which is very different from a bird of prey, which has quite long legs.
Small feet, that they're not trying to catch their prey with their feet.
No, their prey luckily doesn't run away too far from them. They only feed on hairy caterpillars.
You're kidding me?
No, just hairy caterpillars, that's it.
My goodness. And would that be in the summer and the winter?
Yeah, that is, yeah. So they literally only feed, as an adult, they only feed on hairy caterpillars. So they have to collect them wherever they are, which is part of the reason they can't stay here for the winter, because we don't have any hairy caterpillars here in the winter. So they have to migrate anyway, so they have to move.
What we really want to know is exactly where do the cuckoos go for winter? So Sam began to show me the maps on his computer, which show the route travelled by these satellite-tagged birds.
And what you've got here on screen, you're showing me a map of Ireland with some lines, and this is tracing, what, the cuckoos that you caught in Killarney National Park, zigzagging around Munster before they take off over the Irish Sea.
All dark winter I've been waiting for you. A light in the window is the old thirst in you. A soft pink petal or a song in the dawn to ease my fear. Tell me winter is gone. Hear what the old men say, pockets full of change in May. Do you hear the cuckoo sing, summertime is on its way. Cuckoo, cuckoo, sing cuckoo, cuckoo.